Ramsey TV.
You are allowed to disagree with me as to when I think the Lord Jesus Christ will return. Of course, I might even disagree with me. I've said from the beginning, I am putting forth educated guesses. And it seems to me in my science classes in grade school, they used to call those hypotheses. That's right. I don't know 100% when the Lord is going to return. I don't know the date. You remember that Jerry Seinfeld joke? Hey, everybody, Martin Zenner. There's a Jerry Seinfeld joke. He said, how do the milk companies know the date, the expiration date on the milk? All the milk has an expiration date stamped on it. He said, does the cow look over and say, January 28th. Funny stuff. Yeah, no, I don't know. So I'll address my objectors first. There are only a couple of them. 98% of you are happy with my expositions. And I think that the mistaken idea of people who are objecting is that I'm making fun of people who disagree with me. No, I'm not. I'm making fun of scoffers. I'm pointing out the irony. And apparently, not too many people have their irony detectors tuned up. Because it was Peter who said in the last days, scoffers will come with their scoffing. I didn't say that. I'm quoting Peter. And I laughed my head off yesterday at the irony. The irony is that in the last days, there will be people saying these aren't the last days. And that's true whether the last days were in Peter's day or now. The irony stands that people will say, these aren't the last days, and they'll say that in the last days. That's how dumb the scoffers are, because, and they're basing it on the fact that everything has continued thus. That is, there has never been any change. And I'm saying that is a poor premise to base your scoffing on. And since I'm making fun of scoffers, it seems to me when you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, it's the hit dog that yelps. So it kind of seems to me that the people who are complaining must be the scoffers. I struck a nerve. Unless, of course, you think that I'm making fun of people who disagree with me. Now, I can get caustic, yes. I can get sarcastic, and I sometimes get a little carried away. It's the stress of the job, okay? It's doing it for 30 years. This is my outlet, and sometimes I do get a little sarcastic. So I apologize for that, but I will keep doing it. I mean, I don't plan on it. I don't sit in front of the microphone. I'm going to really be a smart ass today. I'm going to really get caustic. No, I don't do that. It just comes out. And if I've hurt anybody in that way, I do apologize. But I do not apologize for calling out scoffers. And one word Peter uses is a good one. They want to be oblivious of this. For one thing, the scoffers say, where's the promise of his presence? For since the fathers were put to repose, all is continuing thus. For they want to be oblivious of this, that there was a heavens and earth of old. I want to highlight the word oblivious before I go on into the white horse rider, is that the ones who are saying, these aren't the last days, to a man, they're basing it, and to a woman, they're basing it on the fact that all these, that there have been so many previous prophecies that have been wrong. The king of the scoffers, in my mind, the modern day standard of all scoffers by which all other scoffers should be measured, is Clyde Pilkington, because he's actually published in his newsletter, taken the trouble to publish in the Bible Student's Notebook all the failed prophecies. Like, that's supposed to cow me into, it's supposed to send me back into my cape. Oh my God, I didn't know there were so many failed prophecies. There was a failed prophecy in 1573? Oh my God, I didn't know that. The very fact that he is listing these failed prophecies as evidence that no one today can say that these are the days in which the Lord is going to return, that's the definition of scoffer. Everything has continued thus. Look at this pattern. Everybody's been wrong. Therefore, you're wrong. That's the definition of a scoffer. Another one who was doing that, I'll say his name because he put his name in the comments, was Tony Smith. Good friend of mine, great friend of mine. Known him for years. Love him. And I love Clyde too. But it's clearly this idea that I've heard these prophecies for years. There it is. Boom. You're the scoffer of 2 Peter. I've heard these things for years. Oh, therefore. And the weird thing is that, and there are a couple others, scoffers, but they're oblivious. Peter says they're oblivious. I mean, I bring forth strong indications that these are the end times, but they're oblivious of these things that I bring forth. It's like they're not even willing to consider the sign of September 23rd, the era that we're in, knowledge will increase, the 6,000 years from Adam. They don't even address that. They're not even considering it, which I think is weird. The Jubilee years, the cycles, the 2,000 years from Christ, the 4 days, the 2 days, the 6 days, the 1 day of stopping. They're oblivious of that because they're so overshadowed by this disappointment of the past. And so they offer up these failed prophecies on a platter. And this is their evidence. Okay, let's say we're going to put my evidence, if you want to call it evidence, strong inclinations, against theirs. Mine is we have this scriptural situation. We have this astronomical situation. We have this time situation. I'm putting forth real things. What are they putting forth? Well, look at all these failed prophecies. That's your exhibit A? That's the definition of a scoffer. Everything has continued thus. And that is true whether you're scoffing in Peter's day or today. Those who say there have always been scoffers, you're playing into my argument. Peter's the one that says there it's in the last days. So in the last days, scoffers will be scoffing, Peter says. So, okay, maybe the days of Peter, maybe those were the last days too. And there can be a case made that the last days are the last two epical days of this six epical day time frame that is given to man, to Adam, to show what he can do apart from God. These 6 days, 6,000 years of days. 1,000 years is as a day. So the case can be made that, yeah, these last 2 days, that is the last 2,000-year period from the time of Christ, could be considered the last days. Somebody brought that up on the comments. That was a great comment. And, yeah, there can be a case made for that. So in which case, these would be today, the day I'm speaking to you, these could be the last days of the last days. So again, I didn't say in the last days there will be scoffers. Peter said it. And again, no matter if you think these are the last of the last days or not, again, the irony stands. In the last days, there will be scoffers saying, these aren't the last days. That's funny, don't you think? The very period when these scoffers will come will be the last days. That's funny, funny. Man, turn on your, tune up your irony detectors. And the fact that I'm getting into something that is not in Paul's gospel, there was one main objector to that. I don't even know who he is. Why do people use code names? I give Tony Smith kudos for putting his name on there. My name's on my comments, Tony Smith. Other people have these code names. I don't understand code names. Don't you want to be known or something? I don't know what. You know, this thing where, why are you getting off of Paul's evangel? That's like saying, man, me and you, we're Patriots fans. We love the New England Patriots. What is this? I hear you're checking the baseball scores? You're checking the baseball standings? What the hell? And I hear you're attending your son's soccer games? Bro, we're Patriots fans. What the hell are you doing? Yeah, well, I'm a little more broad than that. Thank you very much. So, the idea that everything has been wrong before is a horrible premise on which to base a scoff. I like what Chris Carnahan said, something about he needs scoff syrup. These people need scoff syrup. The people who are scoffing need scoff syrup. That's a good one. Okay, did I cover everything there? Yeah, the word oblivion is good. I don't understand why. I don't understand why the things that I'm bringing forward as far as the indications of watching. As I said, we don't have to watch for these signs. The Jews do. But can't I check the baseball scores since it's the World Series? I know I'm a Patriots fan. I know I love Paul, but can I check on see what the Jews are doing? Just for the hell of it? Just because I think these are the last days? And you can agree with me as far as the timing goes, because the cow didn't whisper to me, okay? I'm just saying scripture is pretty, pretty, pretty apparent. Combine that with the fact that our Lord said to the Jews, sorry, I'm reading the baseball scores because they're interesting. I'm checking the standings over there in the other league, okay? Jesus said that there would be indications, there would be, of when he would return. And if we can know when our Lord will return for Israel, then we're even closer, are we not? We're even closer. I mean, we know how close we are based on what's happening with Israel. So why wouldn't I look to see what's happening with Israel? Thank you very much. Now, the white horse rider of Revelation. The rabid argument was made. And by the way, just to say, I've been thinking of these things for years. I've been studying these things for years. And the people who are reacting like caustically on YouTube are people who are just reacting to the moment. I've been looking at these things for years. That should weigh a little bit in my favor. It was that, how can you say that the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, where it says he will come forth conquering and should be conquering? That's not warfare. It's not the taking of other countries. And I would say it's not, yeah, war. That's a big thing. Martin, how can you say that's not war? Because what did I say it was? I said it was conquering corruption. It was a conquering of evil. It was a cleansing of things. It was making things look good and eliminating things that for years have been thought to be evil and corrupting factors. And in putting forth my argument that Donald Trump is a great candidate for the man of lawlessness, I'm not saying he is. I'm saying he's a great candidate. I think he is, but you notice the word I think. I don't have scripture that says Donald Trump's the Antichrist. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Revelation 16:4, Donald Trump's the Antichrist. Says it right there. No, God would never do that because then it would be laying on the surface. God doesn't lay the truth on the surface. It'd be too obvious, you see. So to the guy who says, it's war. The white horse rider, the Antichrist, it's war. I would point out to you that, I'll just read verse 3. I'll let the scripture point it out to you. And when it opens the second seal, I hear the second animal saying, come. And forth came another horse, not the white horse. Fiery red. It's a red horse. And to him who was sitting on it was given to take peace out of the earth, and that they should be slaying one another. There's your wars right there. You want wars? You're not going to find it with the white horse rider. You find it with the red horse rider. That's the one who takes away peace. It says it right there. Take peace out of the earth. What does that tell you? That tells you that the white horse rider brings peace to the earth. It is a burden to make sense for a living, as I've said, but it does wear me down once in a while. I've been doing this for 25 years, so if I go off the handle sometimes, if I get sarcastic, if I get caustic, my apologies. It's the stress. But anyway, white, pure, and I have said, as I've said to you, Donald Trump is the Trump derangement syndrome is at it again. somebody commented, Trump is a complete idiot. And of course, they follow it with 6 exclamation points, which is generally what you do if you have no argument. If you have no argument, just put 6 to 10 to a dozen exclamation points after your statement and capitalize complete idiot. Yeah, that's a symptom of Trump derangement syndrome, where you don't have any proof. You just have this wild opinion. All you have to do to get your opinion across, capitalize everything and use exclamation points. Actually, that's Exhibit A, that the Trump derangement syndrome is in operation. He's doing pretty good for a complete idiot, is what I contend. And I do not capitalize anything there, and I do not use any exclamation points. And I can give you 19 reasons, but that's not the purpose of this show. Okay, here we go. The horse is white. That is purity. Trump is has been the most investigated politician in the history of the world. More money has been spent trying to get rid of him. They have dug into everything. People say, where's his tax returns? They've already looked at his tax returns. My God, they had a two-year investigation where they spent millions of dollars and they can't find anything on this guy. Yes, he's a womanizer. He's not now, but he was. But people who want things fixed in government don't care about that. But as far as anything criminal, this guy's cleaner than a Boy Scout. I'm wondering whether any of us could have sustained the scrutiny that this guy has. I'm telling you, he's the cleanest politician there's ever been. The guy doesn't do anything wrong. As far as the law is concerned, no, he's clean as can be. It's unbelievable. Believe me, there's lots of powerful people spending it with, that have all the money at their disposal. And they say, well, we don't have nothing on this guy. That, you realize what a miracle that is? This guy's white, okay? You might not like how he talks. You might not like his caustic behavior. I love it, but that's beside the point. So the conquering here is bringing peace, because the next horse takes it away. The next horse is the one going to war, not the white horse. Sorry. I used exclamation points there, verbal exclamation points. I apologize for that. And he's given a wreath. The wreath has to do with conquering. Now, it might be, and probably is, and we see it happening with Trump, that he is cowing other nations. But how is he doing it? By diplomacy, by threats. Yeah, peace through strength. He's doing it through surgical military strikes, not all-out war, not sending tanks into other countries, not taking other countries, like this one guy said on the internet, on the comments. He's a warrior. That's the next horse, dude. Warrior. Yeah, he is. Trump is a warrior, but not in the traditional sense. So the horse is white. Brings peace, conquering other countries, but not through military warfare and not through like annexing them, not through taking them, not through changing the regimes of other regimes, you know, right? Not through collecting countries on the, putting notches on your belt. I got this country, I got that country, I got this country. It's not happening that way. It's happening by, again, peace through strength and diplomacy. And the white horse rider has a bow. I perceived in low a white horse, and he who is sitting on it has a bow, and to him was given a wreath. What's a bow? Well, you know, it's an arrow. A bow, an arrow. And you might think, well, you're sure a literalist, Martin. Yeah, I am a literalist. That's why you get so much practical, good, correct information from me, because I follow laws of language and I believe God. Unless there's reason, there's ample reason to believe that we're looking at a figure of speech. But a bow, think about it. I'm looking at a weapon of war, but it is a precision weapon. And with Trump, it's not war. It's more warning. If you look at the arc of the bow, it goes like this. It goes like this. And you shoot it from a distance. You can kill a guy with a bow and arrow from maybe 1,000 feet, 1,000 yards, who knows? I don't know. I don't know how far those things go. I've never shot one. But if you look at today's missile, the ballistic missiles, they go like this, just like a bow and arrow. Again, warfare hasn't changed too much. Or should I say the offensive weapons of warfare haven't changed too much. They just got more lethal. and there's more firepower behind them. There's more oomph to take them farther and farther and farther. And of course, the destructive capabilities is one of the indications that the last days are upon us, and that knowledge has increased, and that includes the capability, the knowledge it takes to ensure the destruction of the entire world. Mutual Assured Destruction, as they called it, the acronym MAD, Mutually Assured Destruction. We used to have that tit for tat with the Soviet Union. I got more. I can destroy you with nuclear bombs 18 times over. Oh, yeah, I can destroy you 22 times over. Oh, yeah, you know, that kind of thing. That's unprecedented in the history of the world. But the scoffers are oblivious of this. They're oblivious. All they can see is failed prophecies. That's all they can see. And that's their presentation. Oh, yeah, well, look at all the failed prophecies. Sorry, that's a really poor argument. It's a really poor argument. And the wreath is success. The wreath is your plans are working. I'm sorry to say Trump is not a complete idiot. I'm not sorry to say that. I'm happy to say it. And his plans are working. And he's bringing financial stability to the U.S. and thus to the world. As goes America, so goes the world. He's, of course, making pacts with other countries, financial trade deals that are bringing stability and bringing wealth, and making the United States more prominent and more prominent and more prominent, which is a major piece of the prophetic puzzle. So I believe, and notice I say I believe because I don't have a verse for you, I believe that these are the last days of the last days. And that's, I enjoy reading the baseball scores, even though I'm a Patriots fan. It's a figure. I'm not really a Patriots fan. You understand. The Patriots being a metaphor for Paul's gospel. If you don't want to look at any other sport, if you don't want to go to your kid's soccer game, that's your problem. I'm the world's most outspoken Bible scholar. What do you expect me to do?